ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे यायनाय विद्महे कन्यकुमारी धीमहि तन्नो दुर्गः प्रचोदयात्। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Let us begin our Chandogyam class with our Samavediya Shanti Pata. Om Apyayantu Mamangani. Please place your mind in the words which are saying, so that the utterance of the word, even if it is mechanically done, it is a karma, it is an action. If you place attention, it is more efficacious karma. Without placing attention there, mechanically you say also, it is still a karma. As a karma, because some will is involved for you to open your mouth and say that, and therefore it's a punya karma, it will have some phalam. So you all want your limbs and health, body healthy and hale. Therefore, please place the attention, which itself is what? A preparatory discipline. Om Apyayantu Mamangani Vak Pranas Chakshushrotra Mato Balam Indriyani Cha Sarvani Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam Maham Brahma Nirakuryam Mama Brahma Nirakarot Anirakaranam Asvanirakaranam Me Astu Tadatmani Nirateya Upanishatsu Dharmaste Mayi Santu Te Mayi Santu. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Having completed the 6th chapter, we are in the 7th chapter, wherein Naradaha as a disciple approaches the Guruhu Sanat Kumaraha. And one thing Narada makes it very clear, that he has understood the fact of no learning, no knowledge of any discipline will remove sorrow. Therefore, he also expresses that one sentence, a beautiful sentence of a statement of fact, which he said he has heard from many other Mahatmas who are similar to Sanat Kumara. And what is that statement? Atmavita Shokam Tarati. You all have to memorize this sentence. Atmavita Shokam Tarati. The knower of the self, the knower of the truth, overcomes sorrow, is a statement of fact. And therefore, whoever grieves, whoever is sorrowful, must be ignorant of the self. And he makes it very clear, even though he was highly educated, highly learned, a scholar, even though Narada had everything, the best of things in the world, still, because of his ignorance of this one thing called the self, even though he had learnt so many other things, even because of his ignorance of the self, he was also subject to sorrow. He was also grieving. That's what he said, Aham Shochami. Aham Kevalam Mantravideva Asmi Na Atmavite. O Lord, Hey Bhagavaha, I am only the knower of the mantras, but I am not the knower of the self. I do not know the self, and I do still grieve. Aham shochami. Therefore, please now teach me that. He made it very clear that what he wanted was not any other knowledge. He wanted only the self-knowledge, because it is that self-knowledge alone will help one overcome sorrow for good. Then afterwards, one thing Sanat Kumara said is, you have the knowledge of the words only. You do not have the knowledge of the meaning of the words. I want to make the sentence very clear. When Sanat Kumara says, yes, your knowledge is only of the words, your knowledge is not of the meaning of the words. What does it mean? How much ever we study, how much ever we learn, however highly academically accomplished we are, how many ever degrees and how many ever disciplines we have thoroughly studied also, still all the knowledge, any knowledge of anything in the world or any discipline other than the self-knowledge is only as good as knowing the mere words. It is the self-knowledge which makes the knowledge what? Which alone makes the knowledge of the meaning of the words. Which means knowledge of any other discipline, anything else, is only knowledge of the forms, non-substantial forms and names, non-substantial words, but it is not the knowledge of the substance of the substantives. Okay? He makes it very clear. When he said very subtle expression, that is, yes, Narada, your knowledge is only of the words. You do not have the knowledge of the meaning of the words. Isn't it? Therefore, then he, in order to teach him the Brahman, the Atma, in order to give him knowledge of the self, he first starts from the grossest thing. That means he wanted to help Narada using this Chakha Chandra Nyaya, following that teaching methodology. He wanted to help him gradually arrive at the most abstract, subtlest reality, the Atma. He did not straight away start teaching him what Atma was. In order to take him systematically, gradually, step by step, from the grossest to the subtlest, from the relative reality to the absolute reality, he prescribes some meditation. He teaches him first meditation, and it is upasanam. So, through the teaching of upasanam, the teacher helps him focus his attention on the grossest, and thereby gradually he takes him step by step to the subtlest. So, starts from the relative reality. He makes him see what is relatively real. Thereby he helps him, takes him step by step to the what is absolutely real. So, from this third mantra onwards, we have this upasanams described, and we have seen already many upasanams, and these upasanani, these meditations discussed in these 15 almost the sections and many sections here, the 15 upasanani, 15 meditations are discussed here. You already seen some of them. I'm not going to go back to those earlier ones, because last class, previous class also, we spent a lot of time on those aspects. But I'll simply tell you what all we have already seen. We have seen first Nama or Shabda Brahma Upasanam, wherein we see the word as the words themselves as Brahma, as relative reality, from the standpoint of the objects indicated by the words. There onwards, the second meditation we understood was Vag Indriya Brahma Upasanam. Seeing the organ of speech, the power of organ of speech, without which articulation or speaking, the function of speaking is not possible, words cannot get expressed, and we see that power of organ of speech as Brahma. And that meditation, Vag Indriya Brahma Upasanam. This is the second meditation. So from the standpoint of the forms and names, the objects, the words are superior. But from the standpoint of the words, actually, the Vag Indriyam is superior, is greater. Now we moved on to what is superior, greater than the Vag Indriyam, the power of organ of speech. What is superior to this organ of speech? Which I said, the desire to speak, the will to speak, isn't it? What is that word we use there? Manaha. Please understand, the word manaha literally means antahkaranam, the entire mind. The word manaha means the mind consisting of all emotions. But in this context, the word manaha means the desire or will. And I mentioned this, chikirsha buddhihi, vivaksha buddhihi, the desire to speak, the desire to do, the desire, a phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought, only with called desire, it must be there, only then any organ of speech can be functional. Action is possible. So therefore, that is called what here? Manaha. So mano brahma upasanam, manaha brahmet upasanam. So meditation upon mind as Brahman. So this desire to do, desire to speak, a phenomenon, obtaining of a thought is superior to the any power of organ of speech or any power of organ of action. Isn't it? We saw that also. Then we moved on to the sankalpa. So mano brahma upasanam, manaha brahmeti upasanam. Then the fourth is what? Sankalpa brahma upasanam. What is sankalpaha? I told you, the sankalpaha, even though sankalpaha has different meanings, in this context, the word sankalpaha means decision born of the understanding of the judgment of right and wrong. Decision born of the judgment of right and wrong. What is appropriate, what is inappropriate. You can say the judgment also. Judgment of what is appropriate, what is inappropriate, what is right or what is wrong, what should be done, what should not be done. Kartavya, akartavya, no, vibhaga samarthanam. Kartavya, akartavya, vibhage samarthanam. This is called sankalpa. See, before you desire to do something, definitely, what should I do? Okay, let me do this is what? Desire to do. Before you do that, desire to do, there must be what? What is right? What is wrong? You must have made the judgment already. Oh, you must have analyzed what is right and what is wrong. Then you must have made the judgment, oh, this is what is right, this is what is wrong. And having made the judgment alone, you desire to do what is right. It's a different thing. But to do, you must have made, first of all, here we say what? Desire to drop, let me do what is right. We are talking about the Vaidika. See, once you study, student of Veda, And who must have understood one important thing is what? As a Vaidika, as a person who is given to study of the Upanishads, as a person who is given to respect the way of life enjoined by the Veda, which is universally acceptable, wherein Ahimsa Paramo Dharmaha, isn't it? Therefore, living a life of Dharma is something it is a must here. You understand the value of Dharma, understand the value of values, therefore you're committed to live a life of values, therefore the very effort to judge itself is what? Because you want to know what is appropriate, what is inappropriate. Then you analyze, you understand what is appropriate, what is inappropriate, what is kartavyam, what is akartavyam, and based on your understanding of what the judgment, you make a decision, you desire to do. Therefore, sankalpaha is subtler than the very desire to do. Isn't it? Sankalpaha precedes. Therefore, we see sankalpa as the relative cause. Sankalpa is relative reality. And it's like a cause for the desire to do, to rise. So, sankalpa brahma upasanam. How many have gone? Shabda, Vagindriya, Mana, Sankalpa. Four meditations. Then afterwards, even for you to judge what is right and what is wrong, how can you make the judgment of right and wrong if you have not understood everything correctly? You must study the whole thing, you must comprehend first. You must study akartavyam also, you must have analyzed and studied. Kartavyam also, you must have analyzed and studied. So, you must have complete understanding of everything. You must have comprehended the whole thing. Then only you can say, this is right, this is wrong. Very subtle, isn't it? So, judgment of right and wrong is based on what? Dependent on your comprehension of the whole situation. Therefore, this comprehension or complete total understanding of everything in a given situation of the person, the people or things, everything, which is very much important for you to judge what is right and what is wrong, that is also what now is superior, subtler. Therefore we say what? Chittam, isn't it? Chittam. So, Chitta Brahma Upasanam. The Chittam, don't take it as a memory here. In this context, the word Chitta means what? Chitta means the complete, total comprehension, understanding of everything. So that we don't make wrong judgment. The judgment has to be appropriate. Of what is appropriate and what is inappropriate, you must have understood the whole situation correctly. Isn't it? That's Chittam. Therefore, Chitta Brahma Upasanam. And what is this comprehension or understanding? What is this comprehension understanding? This comprehension or understanding of everything also is a given phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought in the mind. So, desire, sankalpa, judgment, This chittam, isn't it? Comprehension, all subtle thought modifications only. You are differentiating one thought modification from the other thought modification. Isn't it? Among the thoughts, you are seeing which is superior, which is inferior. Which is subtler than what? Which is like the cause, which is like an effect. You are seeing here. Therefore, next is what? Chitta Brahma Upasanam. Say, I want to tell you one more thing here. When you say this, when you are asked to meditate, okay, may you meditate upon Chittam as Brahma, when it is said, does not mean you have to go and sit and close your eyes and then see like that. Even in the class, as you are listening, you are understanding the fact of how this comprehension of situations is definitely must precede the decisions. You are seeing, this itself is what now? Meditation only, not just sitting and doing meditation. You are focusing, you are listening You're focusing attention, you're understanding, and you are seeing. You are seeing the fact of comprehension being more subtler than, isn't it? Subtler than the decision or judgment. Is it true? This is it. This seeing this fact in the class as you are listening, as you are understanding itself is what? Upasana. This I want to understand, okay? That's what I said, don't take it as serious meditation or anything. You understand this fact, it will never go away from your mind. It will be there always. See, 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. It's a fact. Once you understand this fact, do you have temper all the time? You are all, it's already handy. The assimilated fact need not be meditated upon. Until it gets assimilated, you need to meditate upon. Isn't it? See here also now, first of all you have to see how it is a fact. Once you understand the fact as a fact, you don't accept because I am saying this. You yourself see this fact. Yes, this is a fact. Why? This does not contradict your reasoning. You do see. Not because Upanishad says, not because the teacher says, not because Swami says, somebody says, I accept it, that they definitely, this complete understanding, comprehension of the whole situation is very important before we make the judgment of right and wrong. Do you accept because I'm saying? You understand the fact. So the teaching, or no, that's what the teaching, when the teaching is done, during the class itself, you are seeing the fact of how definitely the comprehension or understanding of everything in its entirety is very important to make right judgment of what is right and what is wrong. Therefore, this is also what now? This is, we say, Chitta Brahma Upasanam. This much we have covered earlier. Is it clear now? How many have covered now? 5 we have covered. We have to go to the 6th one. Because it's very important for us to memorize this whole chapter. How to memorize? How many meditation? 15. We should be able to say one by one. Okay, what is that thing? First object of meditation? See, object of meditation is always Ishwaraha Bhagavan. Can be Bhagavan the whole or any Devata otherwise who symbolizes Bhagavan. Otherwise any form, a given small form you have also is what? Only an alambanam, a symbol for Bhagavan the whole. Even if you are meditating upon something, a small form, that you are not meditating upon that form. The small murti sitting in your puja room is not an object of meditation. It is only an alambanam, a symbol representing Bhagavan the whole. That you should never forget. Okay. Now we'll go to this. Next. I really want to get it with it all the 15 alambanams. You should remember. You see that itself as Brahma. That is reality. Therefore, this comprehension is a phenomenon obtaining in the thought and which is superior to the decision or judgment. Therefore, because without the understanding, this judgment will not be, is not possible. Therefore, this that which is subtler and superior is as good as the cause, and that which is dependent is what? As good as the effect. Therefore, the cause is pervasive of the effect. Therefore, here, the phenomenon called comprehension, understanding, obtaining in your thought is pervades the your judgment. Thought. Is it clear now? It is not direct. You have to see why we call it a cause, why it is we call the other one an effect. You need to understand. Okay, now we'll go to the next. The 6th section. Shashtaha Kandaha. Now, Because Narada asks, you also saw the palashruti of the every meditation here. Every meditation, know every meditation being a will-involved action, a mental activity. In the sitting in the class, even though you are moving like this, still understanding of what I am speaking, what I am saying happens only in the mind. Okay, the words, what I am speaking, the content of the teaching, subject matter of the teaching, that I am unfolding now in through the communicated through the words, and the words carry those message, that message, and enter into your ears and reaches your mind, there becomes knowledge. Isn't it? Therefore, what is involved now, even though you are physically sitting here, what is that which is involved in this act of listening, receiving and retaining and then understanding happening? Mind. Is it clear now? That is why this itself is what? Dhyanam only. Meditation only. Okay, now we'll go to the next one. Therefore, every upasanam has its own palam. You have seen the benefits of practicing these meditations also. Now let us go to the sixth section, wherein the next thing is, next symbol, alambanam, the next object of meditation is mentioned there. Because Narada, every step he asks, O Lord, what is that? Is there something which is superior to, greater than this one? And yes, he says always yes. So here also the question is asked, and Santakumara replies. Now he says, what is that which is superior to or greater than this very chittam? Look at this. Dhyanam. Let us see the sentence now. Dhyanam bhava.
Dhyanam bhava.
Chittadbhoyo.
Chittadbhoyo.
This is the first sentence. We can stop there as what? Dhyanam bhava. Chittadbhoyaha. Dhyanam bhava. Chittadbhoyaha. First sentence. It dhyanam is chittat bhoyaha. Ramat, I taught you in the class today. Chittat bhoyaha. So, this dhyanam, here meditation. Dhyanam literally means what? Meditation. Meditation here means what? The focus of the attention, isn't it? The being focused. The focus or the alertness is being alert or being focused is here meant by the word dhyanam. That is greater than, superior to even this chittam, the comprehension, understanding. Why? Let us see first. Without the focus, if you cannot focus, if you are not focused in every situation, every given situation, whatever is the habit of discussion or understanding, focus must be there. If you are not focused, there is no focus of attention. If you are not attentive, if you are not focused, if you are not alert, then you will be mechanical. If you are mechanical, means nothing. Whatever, nothing in the given situation will get registered. For whatever is happening in any given situation, for it to get registered, for it to be understood, to get registered, you must be what now? You must be focused. If you are not focused, now even now you are sitting in the class, you are physically, you are present. Your attention is not here. You are not focused here. For you, Swamini is talking, some sounds are coming out. But still, you do not know what is happening now. If you are asleep, that is also different. You are not can't be focused. Okay? When you are asleep, you can't be focused. That's okay, no problem. I am happy, at least you are resting. But sitting here, coming all the way, spending your time way, so long, and the mind goes somewhere else, not that you want to go, okay? Not that you want your, you told your mind, come on, go and come back. Like you said it, son, no? Go play and come back in the evening. No, it's not like that. You are so unfortunate, we have no control over our attention. Even if you want the mind to be here, the mind says, bye, it goes somewhere. Right, that is the nature of the very mind. Mind will go. So, what Shastram says here is, see how subtly they have observed things, isn't it? How beautiful it is to know this. So, any even understanding or comprehension of a rubbish thing also, of course, any important thing also, whatever understanding or comprehension of anything in any given situation, of a person, of any given person, of a given thing, can happen only if you have that focus. The attention is, you are attentive, if you are focused, if you are alert, sharp, then it will happen. And that alertness, or that being focused, that focus, attentiveness, is called what here? Meant by the word dhyanam. That's also what? Condition of, that's also state of mind only. What is the focus? If you ask the question, what does the word focus mean? How will you explain? Focus means focus. Paying attention. Being attentive. You can say all those things. So being, it's also what now? Very subtle a phenomenon, name of a thought only. Your attention is here. Very subtle. You can't see what does it mean? So being distracted is a condition of the mind. So being focused is what now? A condition of the mind. A state of the mind. It's just a thought only. Is it clear now? Therefore here he says, dhyanam vava chitta. Dhyanam vava chittad bhoyaha. Now, being the attentiveness or focus is subtler or superior, subtler than, superior to even this the phenomenon called comprehension or understanding. Therefore, this dhyanam is superior. Now, having said this much, only one sentence is over. Having said this much, now Upanishad wants to present something differently to make us understand. It seems everything in the creation is focused. Everything in this creation is meditative. Every phenomenon seems to be in meditation. Don't ask me, okay? It's a beautiful understanding. Everything seems to be in meditation. Upanishad presents it. How? Let us see that now. Dhyayativa prithivi. Prithivi dhyayati iva. Iva means what? As though. As it were. Prithivi dhyayati iva. It seems every phenomenon in this creation is in meditation or meditative. So what? Prithivi dhyayati iva. The earth is in meditation as it were. Earth meditates as it were. The mother earth, earth is in meditation as it were. Meditates it seems. Then. Dhyayativantariksham. Dhyayativantariksham. Dhyayati iva antariksham. Dhyayati iva antariksham. Antariksham, the intermediary space is in meditation as it were. The intermediary space also meditates, it seems, as it were. Everything seems to be in meditation. Now, dyauho, ध्यायतीवद्यौः. ओके, द स्काई इज इन मेडिटेशन एज इट वेर. स्काई एज इफ इट इज मेडिटेटिंग. स्काई इज एज दो इज मेडिटेटिव. नौ ध्यायन्तीव आपः. ध्यायन्तीव आपः. ध्यायन्तीव आपः. आपः मीन्स् वाटर्स्. द वाटर् एलिमेण्ट् आल्सो ईस् मेडिटेटिङ्ग् इट् सीम्स् एस् इट् वेर्. ध्यायन्तीव पर्वताः. ध्यायन्तीव पर्वताः. आल् दि मौण्टन्स् आर् meditating as it were, or no, or meditation as it were. Dhyayantiva, dhyayantiva deva manushyah.
Deva manushyah.
Now even all the celestial beings, all the devas are also in meditation, it seems, as it were. And all the human beings, manushyah, dhyayanti iva. So all, see, iva means what? As it were. So it's a Upanishad, a poetic presentation of the teaching here. It seems everything in this universe, everything in this world is what now is in meditation as it were. Manushyah dhyayanti iva. All the human beings are in meditation as it were. Therefore, what happens? That is why, how do we say that meditation? That is why they all enjoy what now? Peace. Because they're practicing, they are all in meditation, therefore they all remain, enjoy pratishtha. But they're all in peace. Now, the mountain has peace. Okay, the ocean has peace. All the elements, they remain in peace because they are all in meditation as it were. Tasmat yaha iha manushyanam mahattam prapnuvanti.
ध्यानापादागमशाः
इवैव ते भवन्ति. अंटिल देन वन सेंटेंस. तस्मात् देयरफॉर. व्हाट डस इट मीन देयरफॉर? एवरी फिनोमिनन इन दिस यूनिवर्स इज इन मेडिटेशन एज इट वर. एवरीथिंग इज मेडिटेटिंग हियर. All the beings are in meditation as it were. That is why this is a subtle point. Please note here carefully. What is a subtle thing that Upanishad wants to say here? We are all not absolutely peaceful. Okay? But we cannot deny this fact that we do enjoy some relative peace. Are you 100% absolutely restless all the time? No. Thank God. If we are like that, we'll be like monkeys, okay? Hopping tree to tree and jumping here and there. Are we absolutely restless, agitated, disturbed 24 hours a day? No. At least when you are not asleep. Why I'm taking so much of time? Because Upanishad here makes you see a subtle fact. We are not 100%, 24 hours a day, we are not restless and agitated. We are not disturbed and distracted. Okay? At least in waking state, throughout your waking state, are you disturbed, distracted, agitated and restless? No. We are restless. We are not absolutely peaceful. Nor are we absolutely agitated and restless. What does it mean? We are in between. We are not totally restless people, agitated and disturbed, distracted. At the same time, we are not 100% absolutely focused and agitation-free, restlessness-free, disturbance-free minded. Do you get what I'm saying? Which means we are all the human beings. We are always, sometimes we are focused, sometimes we are calm, sometimes we are peaceful, sometimes we are restless, agitated, disturbed, distracted, completely restless also. We have this, we enjoy both. We are in between. But what we want is absolute peace. We want to be peaceful, calm, agitation-free, restlessness-free, turbulence-free, disturbance-free, peaceful, mind we want to have. Absolutely peaceful mind we want. We want to be absolutely peaceful. We are not absolutely restless. But we are relatively peaceful. We are relatively restless also. We have to convert this relative restlessness into, relatively peacefulness into absolute peace. And that will happen only in the assimilation of the vision of the truth of one's own self. Until then, absolute peace will be impossible. Isn't it? But we are now relatively peaceful, relatively restless also. So now Upanishad wants to say, see, whenever, wherever any degree of peace enjoyed, please note carefully, which means we do experience, we do enjoy certain degree of peace. Isn't it true or not? We do enjoy a certain degree of peace. Because you already understood the fact that we are not absolutely restless all the time. Even now, you are sitting calmly, physically, mentally, okay, isn't it? Not that disturbed. But very disturbed means you will not be sitting here, first of all. I tell you, people, when they are disturbed, they cannot show the faces. It shows what is the degree of restlessness a person is having, going through. You can make out sometimes in the eye movement. Sitting in the class, I don't need to go and see them, okay? Sitting in the class, the person's eyes go like this all the time. This is okay. Observe peace, okay? Eyes go round. Eyes turn a lot. A person is sitting, eyes movement, the eyeball movement, I can see, I can tell you. What I want to say here, what Shastram says in this context is, any amount of peace, any degree of peace one enjoys is the result of one's attentiveness. The some degree of focus one has. If whatever, how much a degree of focus you have, in keeping with that focus, in keeping with the attentiveness, that is certain degree of meditation, concentration, you enjoy the peace also. So wherever there is focus, wherever there is attentiveness, wherever there is certain meditation, degree of meditation, there is definitely certain degree of peace. Isn't it a beautiful fact, subtle fact, you see it or not? That is why even if you 2 minutes you sit and remain focused also, 2 minutes you are not disturbed. In keeping with that, you have certain peace. Certain degree of peace. It is relative peace. Is it clear now? This is what Upanishad wants to say in this context. Therefore, this understanding, completely, totally understand anything, comprehend anything, definitely a certain degree of attentiveness, focus must be there. Without the focus, if you are not at all focused in a given situation, even though you are focused in certain other situations, in a given situation you are not focused, you are not attentive, you are not able to concentrate, then in that particular situation you cannot comprehend anything. Mind will be blank. Therefore, what is superior to the comprehension, thorough understanding, complete understanding or comprehension of any situation or anything or any person is dependent on your attentiveness, the focus, the concentration, isn't it? And that is what that the attentiveness or focus, which is very much important for one to comprehend, is mentioned by the word here, meant by the word here, dhyanam. And dhyanam is superior to the comprehension, greater than the comprehension. Without the meditation, without the concentration, without your focus, without attentiveness, comprehension is not possible. Therefore, what is subtler than, what is greater than, what is superior to this understanding is the focus, dhyanam. Dhyanam is superior. Is it clear now? This is all meditation here. Therefore, that this pervades that. Always cause pervades the effect. Now, therefore, your chittam is pervaded by dhyanam. Your comprehension is completely in and through pervaded by the dhyanam. Your concentration, your attention, your focus, attentiveness. Therefore, now everything in this creation is peaceful. Actually, another subtle fact is revealed here. We always want to work for the peace of the world, isn't it? World peace. In fact, mountain is in peace. Ocean is in peace. Even though ocean is turbulent and the storm comes, even ocean is in peace. Mountain is in peace. All the trees are in peace. All the birds are in peace. All the beings are in peace. Your heart is in peace. Understand. The heart is disturbed, the problem will be different, okay? We need angio and then angioplast, lot of other things. Your heart is in peace, your lungs are in peace, your kidneys are in peace, the nerves are in peace. Pain you may have, okay, that's a different thing, but they're all in peace. Everything in this universe is in peace. They're not at all disturbed. I tell you, nothing in the world is disturbed. All the disturbance is only in your mind. Restlessness, agitation is only in the mind, not elsewhere. There's no disturbance in your ear. When the ear has some problem, disturbance happens in the mind. When some problem happens in the eyes, who is disturbed? Eyes are not disturbed. The disturbance happens in the mind. Do you see this fact? The back pain, the front pain, the body pain, any problem anywhere causes disturbance only in the mind. What is disturbed when the body is in problems is the mind. When the what is disturbed, when the eyes are in problems, mind. What is disturbed when some killing is happening, some bombing is happening, shooting is happening outside. Wars are happening. What is disturbed is what? Where is the disturbance? There's a big bomb blast. Okay, it's a big war is happening. People are killing each other. What is disturbed? Where does the disturbance happen? Seeing that, disturbance happen where? Tell me. Therefore, Upanishad teaches a subtle fact, everything is in the world is in peace. Therefore, it seems as if everything is in meditation. Look at the beauty of the teaching. Everything is in peace, nothing is disturbed, nothing can be disturbed, therefore, wherever there is no disturbance, therefore we can say everything is in peace. Because everything is in peace, we can say as if everything is meditative. I'm very happy with my own unfoldment today. I really see the fact. Do you see the subtleness? If somebody comes, sits in this class, they won't understand, they won't get what's happening here. But do you see the subtle fact here? What is disturbance? What is restlessness? What is being agitated? What is agitation? You need to understand here. This is the problem obtaining in the mind. Mind-related problem. Your mind alone has to be taken care of. Mind alone needs the treatment. Mind alone needs the attention. This delicate, darling baby mind alone has to be fondled, looked after. Nothing else in the world needs any has disturbance. When the tree, suppose the tree is, in the wind or storm, the tree falls or moves, do you think the tree is disturbed? When the tree stands, it is fallen down, the tree is not disturbed. This is a subtle teaching Upanishad gives you. A disturbance is only in the mind. It's a mind-related problem. Mental turbulence, disturbance, restlessness, agitation is a problem related to mind. It's in the mind only. Therefore, nothing is disturbed means, what does it mean? Everything is in peace. Everything is in peace. There, without meditation, everything is in peace. Okay? So, here the author says what now? The mantra Upanishad says, it seems everything is in meditation. As if everything is in meditation, everything is meditative. Everything seems to be meditating. Is it clear now? Therefore, it's extra lessons, okay? What he wants to say is, this being, the attentiveness or focus is very important, without which comprehension of the situation is not possible, total understanding is not possible, without which judgment is not possible, without which no desire is to do is not possible, without which utterance or do action is not possible, without which result is not possible. Therefore, everything boils down to what now? My God, the attentiveness, concentration, focus. Therefore, this is subtler than the chittam. Therefore, relatively, what is real now? Cause is real, effect is mithya. So, relatively, from the standpoint of chittam, now dhyanam is real. Relatively real. Therefore, dhyanam is superior. May you see dhyanam as Brahma. May you meditate upon meditation as Brahma. May you see this attentiveness, concentration or meditation as Brahma. Okay. Now one more thing Upanishad wants to say. Okay. Whoever is given to this discipline of being focused. Whoever is given to the discipline of being attentive, being alert. I won't use the word meditation also. Okay. Whoever is given to this discipline of being attentive, attentiveness, or being focused, or being meditative, definitely that person is what? A peaceful, calm-minded person. See, the more you are... See, meditation is not only sitting and meditating, practicing meditation alone. If you sit and... Wherever you are, in whichever situation you are, whichever place you are, whichever work you are involved in, if you are focused, if you are attentive, that time what you have is what? Disturbance-free, peaceful mind. That is why sometimes, even though physically active also, any work you do, if it holds attention, you totally focus that work you are doing, physically you see you are very active, but still it holds attention, means that serves as an instrument of relative peace, being focused. Isn't it beautiful to know this fact? Anything you do. Therefore, whoever is more focused, whoever is enjoys more attentiveness, is given to this discipline of being focused always in everything that one is doing. You may take your attention from one thing to another thing, but you are able to be focused, able to be attentive in every situation you are, and the more focused, the more attentive you are, more peaceful, more calm you will be. So, in keeping with the degree of focus and attentiveness you have, the degree of peace also what will be there. And such peaceful people are said to be, here Upanishad glorifies those people, okay? They really attain the status of being the great people. Who are the people who attain the status of being the great, who enjoy the glory of being the great people, Mahatmas? Whoever enjoys peace, whoever sees that one's mind remains peaceful. How can one keep one's mind peaceful? Absolute peace is only in jnanam. Relatively, how can one keep oneself peaceful? By being focused and attentive. It's a simple logic. People go all the way to do practice meditation. The whole idea of teaching meditation is based on this fact. Do you get this point? I really love this. I really see the beauty of this. Is it nice? Very subtle teaching. Very, very subtle. Fact it is. So he says, let us see now. Tasmad. Therefore, yaha iha. Whoever is given to, yaha iha means here, whoever is, the sentence is not complete, whoever is given to the practice, given to this discipline of being attentive, attentiveness, or being focused, or meditation. Manushyana mahattam prapnuvanti, they attain the status of being the great among the people, or greatest of the people. They become Mahatmas. So what is that Mahatmyam? Shankara says beautifully. Okay. they will be highly learned. They'll be great in terms of knowledge. They'll be great in terms of, you know, being a teacher. They'll be great in terms of being a king. Then the greatness will be in terms of being somebody, enjoying wealth, enjoying the comforts, enjoying, you know. See, more peaceful you are, more comfortable you are. Where does the comfort lie? Isn't it? Is it? If you discover this, actually, the more you're focused, the more peace you enjoy, and more comfortable you will be. This is a fact, secret. There's a greater luxury you enjoy. Greater the peace you have, greater luxury you have, enjoy. And the greater you are focused, more you are focused, the greater your peace you have, greater luxury you have. This is called what now? Enjoyment of everything, something, you know. These people become very magnanimous, generous, big-hearted, you know, people of wide understanding, therefore all accommodative. All the good things go with these people who enjoy this peace as a result of being given to the discipline of being focused or being attentive. Okay. Mahattam Prapnuvanti. He says, Dhyana Pada Gumshaha. See, Dhyana Pada, there's some word which is hard. Dhyana Pada Gumshaha means Dhyana Apada Amshaha. Means Dhyana Pada, Dhyana Apada Amshaha means Dhyana Palam. They enjoy the benefit of being focused. Dhyana Pada Gumshaha means those people who enjoy the benefit of meditation. Got it? Iva Eva Te Bhavanti. So they become Bhavanti means they become the people who enjoy the result of this benefit of meditation. They enjoy the result of the being focused. Is it clear now? Suppose if people are not attentive, if they are not given to this discipline of being focused. I'm not talking about a big meditation and all, okay? If the simple discipline of being focused, the being attentive is not there, not given to, they don't have. It is very distracted all the time distracted and disturbed. They cannot focus on anything. They cannot, you know, this is very restless, very agitated means. And such people, you can understand, they cannot focus on anything. They cannot focus in work, focus in watching, focus in anything. They cannot focus at all. The people who are not, are highly disturbed, agitated, need not be highly meditative people, who cannot focus at all in anything. Such human beings. At least they are a monkey. You can jump and you can manage your restlessness, jumping here and there. Being born a human being, mind is like the monkey. Very disturbed, agitated. No, they are not at all given to this discipline of being focused. They can't concentrate at all. And such people, he says, alpaha bhavanti, they become what now? Now, alpaha. The people of very mean behavior. Alpaha. Kalahinaha. They're given to what? A very quarrelsome nature. Kalahinaha. They always contribute for any big quarrels. Okay, kalahinaha. Kalaha means quarrel. Kalahinaha means what? Who happily contribute for quarrels. Or they are quarrelsome people. And they also contribute for others. Isn't it? Quarrels. Pishunaha. Pishunaha means actually jealous people. They become very jealous. The jealousy becomes a problem. What does the word jealousy mean? What do you mean by saying being jealous? Paishunyam, no? Pishunata means jealousy, noun. Pishunaha means they're jealous. Shankara gives beautiful, I want you to understand this, okay? He says, what is being jealous? What does the word being jealous mean? See, Shankara says, alpaha means shudraha, dhanadi mahatva ekadesham. Okay, the mean-minded, mean-behavior people. They're opposite to the people who are mentioned above. Mahattaha. Kalahinaha, kalahashilaha. Pishunaha means paradosha bhasakaha. Paradosha udbhasakaha. Paradosha udbhasakaha. I want to know this word. Pishunaha means what? Paradosha udbhasakaha. Those who are capable, those who always what? Point out others' defects and faults. Pointing out, showing, bringing to light other people's faults and defects is what? Expression of one's jealousy. Now, she made a very good banana cake. Who comes and tells? Nalini Ben comes and tells. And that triggers my smallness. Oh, I'm not able to make any cake. Okay? And but she is praised, and other person is praised for whatever the praise she deserves, and the other person gets what her smallness is triggered. When I am small, I'm not able to make cake, and the smallness is triggered. So she is more important than me. That smallness is triggered, then I have to say what now? That's expression of my problem of smallness being triggered. Then what do I say? Cake is very nice. She has made very, very nice. But you know, it could have been little color different, isn't it? We have put little sugar less. I also would have eaten more. Something but I say, okay? I can't help. I have to agree with what the other person says. Yes, she has made a very good cake, but it could have been different. See, it's not a big, doesn't cause any big problem. It can be an expression of fact also. Okay? But I tell you, if there is, so it is a problem. Shastram analyzes so minutely. See, nothing will cause any disturbance. You will remain quiet. If it is too sugary, you don't eat, keep quiet, okay? No expression will be there. Even slightest disturbance in the... So what is jealousy now? Jealousy is an emotional problem, which is a mental disturbance caused by the triggering of one's fundamental problem of smallness centered on I, for which the other person's praise becomes nimittam, instrumental. It's called what now? Paradosha udbhasakaha. Pishunaha means what? Paradosha udbhasakaha. So the people who bring to light the other people's defects and faults. So if whenever we point out other person's problems, it is definitely sometimes in the different context. When you simply point other person's problems, and somebody is doing wrong, you point out the problem, that is a different thing. That is your commitment to dharma. But other person is praised, glorified. Then you point out the problem, okay, fault in the person who is praised. That is expression of jealousy. Not all the time. We do have to point out what is wrong and what is, when people are wrong, we have to show what is when they are wrong. That is the commitment to dharma. That is a different thing. But when other person is praised, then you point out the problem there. That is expression of your slightest disturbance in your mind. Yeah. It can be sometimes, suppose somebody gets an award, okay, MBE from the Queen, and I don't get, and I also worked hard the same for the same thing. The person who did for 3 months and get it, and I've been here for so many years and didn't get it, means it may cause a little more disturbance. But the cake is, suppose Nalini Ben says, Mavi's cake is very nice, that will be cause slight disturbance. For the point now. Anyway, so, and we're going somewhere deviated a little bit, isn't it? Shankara takes us like that. I also want to see the how the teaching means a lot of things are you are made to see the fact, isn't it? Anyway, so kalahinaha, pishanaha, well, Puja Swamiji made very clear. I see how he beautifully taught us. I'm saying, pishanaha, then upavadinaha. See, people who are disturbed minded. If your people are not focused, that's why something they must be doing. That's why they say the jobless person who does not know how to exhaust his energy, if you don't do anything at all, there's no, you're not given some discipline. That is why job is very important. You must be occupied, engaged in something or the other, that whole certain that helps you to become focused. Otherwise, what now? Devil's workshop. It's all devil's workshop. If somebody asks, we have this expression, no? Isn't it? Devil's workshop. Devil's workshop means their only expression is there. Unfoldment is here. what is having devil's workshop? What does it mean by saying the mind becomes a devil's workshop? Kalahinaha. Why they contribute for quarrel? Why they are quarrelsome? They contribute for kalaha, gossiping, talking about other people, superior of other people, in front of other people. The problems solve what? Because of no focus. No focus, therefore no peace. No peace means what? No peace means don't think I'm peaceful. Any mental agitation, disturbance is what? Implies absence of peace. So you understand the very meaning of the word peace differently here. Do you see that? Calmness. Isn't it? You understand what is mental calmness here. Calm-minded means not internally. Not externally. Physically you can be very active. Calm-minded means what? External situations do not disturb you. Then that is what is peace. But we do get disturbed. Very natural. How long will we be disturbed? As long as you see yourself as an isolated individual, a small being, limited being, different from the whole. That is why advaitameva solution. Finally, absolutely. Until then, the study, it expands your vision, isn't it? It's called mental expansion, understanding of these facts. See, being jealous is not wrong. It's very natural. Understanding what jealousy is, helps you expand mentally, helps you resolve the problem or manage the problem. You can't undo it. You can manage the problem. In jnanam, you can resolve the problem for good. So teaching helps you understand what these problems are, why these problems are. Shastram does not say, why do you have the problem? Shastram says, why these problems are. That is why we never say give up that, give up this, don't have this. We never say not to have this, not to have this. You can't, if you go and tell, don't become jealous. Don't be jealous. Learn not to be jealous. If we say, no, really it's a wrong teaching. Nobody wants to be jealous. Everybody is helplessly jealous. Helplessly envious. Because a problem, isn't it? It's an emotional problem. It is not your problem. Emotional problem. It's natural. Therefore, even though Upanishad is teaching now something different, it's all simultaneously so many subtle facts we have to learn. If you are not, that's why always, if you are not given to this discipline of being focused, and if you are not at all focused, how can I become focused? That is why always take up something, keep yourself engaged or occupied in something, then you learn to become focused. When you are focused, you can do something more efficiently. That is why getting up in the morning, brushing, having shower, praying, doing japam, doing yogasana, running, jogging, going to off, eating time, eating also, isn't it? Coming back, going to work and being with the friends and focusing on what work you have to do, forget about everything at home and focus there. So all discipline. That's why those things keep you healthy. Otherwise you'll be very unhealthy. The unhealthy minded is who? Whose mind? Devil's workshop. See, upavadinaha. See, the other people, pishunaha, the people who point out the mistakes or defects or faults in other person, the other person is praised. Okay? But he upavadinaha means people being with you, staying closely to you, right in front of you directly, those who point out your defects. Upavadinaha. Samipe stitva dosham pradarshayanti. Hey, this is what you are doing, you know. This is what you are doing. Like this. Samipe sitva dosham dosha darshakaha. Just directly showing. No, there is no sensitivity. How other person will feel? No. That is not there. You are all great people. It's not. See, I am not talking about you here. I am just talking about the general problems. Isn't it? General problems. Okay. So, upavadinaha. Te atha, this will be the consequence of not being focused, not being attentive, not being given to the discipline of being focused in something. Therefore, such people, that's called meditation here. Don't take seriously as a meditation as such. Then, which means nothing is there to keep you occupied and busy. You do not know what to do. The mind will be like a turbulent mind, disturbed mind. This will be the problem. Otherwise, he says, ye prabhavaha, dhyanapadagamshaha. Now he talks about, he talks about the great people. Instead of being like this, there are people, those people who are given to this discipline of being focused and attentiveness, such people who enjoy the benefit of being focused and attentive, being disciplined, such people, prabhavaha means what now? They are the lords. Prabhavaha means they are the people who enjoy the best of luxury. Who is a prabhu now? One who enjoys, is it? Luxury. Luxury of a comfort of being peaceful. How? Because of habit, because of the discipline of being focused. So prabhavaha and dhyana apada amshaha means those who enjoy the benefit of this meditation, or being focused to enjoy peace. Iva te bhavanti. Iva dhyana padagumshaha iva eva te bhavanti. Therefore, what now? You see this greatness, the importance, the superiority of this discipline of being focused and attentive. Therefore, what now? This dhyanam, here is the word meaning the discipline of being focused, being attentive. Isn't it? The attentiveness. That is superior to even what? The chittam, comprehension. You must be very great and big-hearted, magnanimous, the disturbance-free minded to be able to study, understand situations properly. If you are very disturbed, how can you understand anything? Therefore, dhyanam is superior to chittam. Therefore, may you meditate upon this dhyanam, this discipline of attentiveness or being focused, this focus as Brahma. Relatively, it is superior to that. Therefore, dhyanam upasveti, may you meditate upon dhyanam. Meditate upon meditation. Please pay your attention to this fact of the benefit of being focused. Therefore, may you meditate upon this discipline of attentiveness or being focused, as Brahma. Therefore, meditation upon meditation. See this very discipline as Brahma. But it is not an action here, okay? It's also what now? Mind is involved, mental activity. See subtle difference? You have to start from desire, judgment, comprehension, and now this focused attentiveness. Okay. Now, what is the benefit of practicing this meditation? What happens if you pay attention to this fact of attentiveness being important in making, in comprehending anything, and you see this fact again and again? It is called what? Meditation upon meditation. If you give, then what do you enjoy? What's the benefit here? He says, Sayodhyanam brahmetyupaste. Sayodhyanam brahmetyupaste. Saha yaha dhyanam brahma iti upaste. Upaste means one who meditates. One who meditates upon dhyanam as Brahma. One who sees this dhyanam, this, the attentiveness, the focus as the relative reality with reference to the comprehension. One who sees this as Brahma, one meditates upon dhyanam as Brahma, that person, yavat dhyanasya gatam. Okay, so much, as much as the meditation pervades, so does he pervades. The meditator also becomes as pervasive as this dhyanam, means he becomes much subtler person of, he becomes a man of much subtler personality, thereby person of greater understanding, thereby he becomes more popular and well known and recognized. Then, tatrasya yatha kamacharo bhavati. This person is capable of moving freely at his will. Yatha kamacharo bhavati means what? He is able to move freely at his will. This is the result. This is the benefit of this meditation. The person becomes much subtler, thereby he becomes more recognized and more popular and well known. He becomes a person of expanded mind. He has an expansion of the mind, person of wider understanding. It's all blessing. So, yo dhyanam brahme tupaste, yo dhyanam brahme tupaste. See, in every mantra, when the result of that meditation is mentioned, the pala shruti comes, there the one who meditates upon, that sentence is repeated twice. Yaha dhyanam brahma iti upaste. At the end it is there, the beginning also it is there. Yaha dhyanam brahma iti upaste. One who meditates upon dhyanam, meditation as Brahma. One who meditates upon meditation as Brahma. Isn't it? Now you know what I mean by saying meditation here, dhyanam. So such a person becomes as pervasive as the dhyanam, as pervasive, as subtle as the focus, attentiveness. Thereby he becomes, as a person of subtle-minded person, he becomes more popular, more recognized and more acknowledged as a person of expanded mind also can say. Okay, now again this Narada asked the question, asti bhagavo dhyanad bhuyah, asti bhagavo dhyanad bhuyah. Is there something greater, something superior to this attentiveness, this discipline of being focused, this concentration, this meditation? Iti, he asks. Then what should be the answer? Dhyanadvava bhuyaha asti bhuyosti iti. Yes, there is something more superior, something greater than what? No, to this dhyanam. What he says now, tanme bhagavan bravitu. This is every mantra, this repetition is there. Tanme bhagavan bravitu. Tanme bhagavan bravitu. Bhagavan means, O Lord, may you tell me that. What is that which is superior to this discussed in this context? In this context, at present, what is relatively superior to all that we have been seen before? Right from the word nama, argana, no, etc. Now, this the attentiveness or this focus and being focused is meditation or concentration is looked upon as something superior to even the comprehension. Now, what is it superior to this dhyanam? Is it? He's going to say in the next mantra. So, with this, the teacher says, yes, there's something superior to this focus also. Greater than this attentiveness also. I'm going to say in the next section. So, he stops there. Let us see that now. Okay? Okay. Please, all of you go, have your tea and come back.